up and hold on. At our church, we love God. Make no mistake about that. At our church, we believe in God's radical, unconditional, and unwavering love for us. At our church, we believe that Jesus is God. We also affirm that you may or may not believe that Jesus is God. And we're not asking you to change your belief system before you attend our church. We're simply inviting you on a journey toward Jesus. For years, churches have placed a high priority on Jesus as the get-out-of-hell-free card. At our church, we place the highest priority on Jesus as a live life to the fullest invitation. At our church, we believe every person has a dream deep inside their hearts, and that God put that dream there, not for our glory, but for His. At our church, we're not concerned with where you've been, but where you're going. At our church, we believe that the Bible is God's Word. It is real, it is living, it is active. We believe that people who don't go to church anywhere are not the enemy. They are real people who need the perfect love that only God can give. And we believe that God gives this love through, of all people, us. At our church, we do not and we will not display a holier-than-thou attitude toward anyone. We are all broken people, but He is putting us back together. And finally, and most importantly, at our church, we believe that Jesus really lived, that He really died on a cross, and that He really rose again on the third day. And we cannot and we will not candy coat or water down that message, ever. Today, you've chosen to sit yourself in the middle of a very safe place to hear a potentially dangerous message. Welcome to our church.
Sing. Turn it for good. praise him above the host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You found me. I made up my mind. Lift your hands as a sign of surrender this morning to the Lord. Just lift your hands and declare out of your mouth and say, I'm never going back to the fear that once held me captive. I'm never going back to the doubt that circulated my mind, to the anxiety that overwhelmed me. Just surrender to Him this morning and tell Him, I'm not going back to my old ways. I'm not going back to my past. I'm not going back to my mistakes. I'm not going back to yesterday. I'm declaring today, this morning, that it's a new day, and tomorrow is going to be my future, and I'm going to look to that, and I'm no longer going to be held back. God, we give You our everything, God. We give You our everything. We lay it down at Your feet, God. All our fears, even our hopes and our dreams and what we want in our lives, our plans, we submit it under Your authority and we give it to You, God. We ask You, Lord, to just take it and lead us, God. We give You our lives, Lord. Come, be the King of our hearts. Thank You, Jesus. As we sing this prophetic song, I want you to let it wash over you. Let its presence wash over you. His voice is going to start getting louder, not in your physical ears, but in your spiritual ears. His voice is going to start getting louder, and you're going to start hearing him and feeling his presence on you. So as he sings this now, I want you to just rest in that and receive it and allow his presence to overwhelm you and overtake you and just wash over you. Thank you, Jesus.
These are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. Yes, these are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. These are new days. These are not the same. These are.
Yeah. Yea, the Lord would say unto his people this day, I am the God that releases my anointing. I'm the God that releases my power. I'm the God that releases my mantle. I release my mantle to you today, says the Lord. Will you not receive it? Will you not be clothed in it? Will you not be wrapped in my presence and go out into a fearful world? You are living in challenging times, declares the Lord, more challenging than you have known. But I am not asleep. I do not slumber. I watch over you. You are my child. You shall not walk in fear, but you walk in faith, declares the Lord. You walk in faith, and no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. This is my promise to you. I declare this to you. I've declared it in my word. Will you not read my word? Will you not follow my word? Will you not trust my word? Do not move in fear. Move in faith. Do not move in fear. Move in faith, declares the Lord. This is my promise to you. Receive my mantle. Receive it today. Receive what I'm washing over you now. And your life and the life of your family will be different, declares the living God.
Every time you come in the room, there's nothing I can do but praise you, God. Every time you come in the room, there's nothing I can do but praise you, God. Every time you come in the room, there's nothing I can do but praise you. Every time you come in the room, there's nothing I can do but praise you. You break our walls down, you break down everything that is a hindrance to us, a hindrance to us. You break our walls down, you break down everything that is a hindrance to us, a hindrance to you. You break our walls down, you break everything down that is a hindrance to you, that is a hindrance to you. You break our walls down, you break down everything that is a hindrance to you, that is a hindrance to you. You break our walls down, you break down hindrance to you, that is a hindrance to you. You break our walls down, you break down everything that is a hindrance to you, that is a hindrance to you. We give it all. Keeps us all away from you.
Just like in the Old Testament, the kings would destroy the Baal worship, and they would take down the idol worships. God is tearing down the idols in your life. God is destroying the strongholds in your life right now. I believe it. He's doing it inside you. Things that have taken His place in your life. The thoughts that consume you. The things you do on a daily basis. He is tearing those things down, and He is making room for Him to be in our hearts. He is taking His place in our hearts so that He can be your first, so that He can be the King of your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We just give it all to you, Lord. We just love you. We just love you. We just love you. We just love you. We just love you, God. We love you so much. God, help us to realize how much you love us with an unconditional love that you have for us. You don't have conditions. You don't have boundaries. Your love is limitless for us, God. Help us to realize how much you love us, God. How deep your love goes for us, Lord. You love us so much, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We remember everything you've done for us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We won't forget. We won't forget everything you've done, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the hope that you've given us for tomorrow and for today. Thank you for the hope that's being restored in the room right now. Thank you, God, that we can look to you. We can look to you. We don't need to look at anything else. We don't need to look at what's going on around us, the chaos and the confusion, God. But we can set our focus and our gaze on you, God. The God of heaven and on earth, our Creator. Thank you, God, that we can look to you. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We are so glad that you are with us this morning. It is so good to see so many faces here. And we want to welcome our online audience as well. We are glad that you are tuning in this morning. At this time, we are going to be collecting our tithes and offering. There's a couple ways you can do that this morning. You can give by cash or check, and you can come up and actually put it in these buckets that we have here in the front, or you can sign into our app and give through our app.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Ordinary to Extraordinary, where we go in search of ordinary people who do extraordinary things. I'm your host, Mr. Ordinary. On today's show, we are going to be talking about extraordinary courage. Courage, ladies and gentlemen, is the ability to face your fears. We are excited to have a returning guest on our show today. Maybe you remember him from just a few weeks ago, Bobby B. Frank. Bobby, are you there?
Well, hey, Mr. Ordinary. It's good to be back on your show. I didn't know you would have me back so soon.
Well, Bobby, some of our friends may remember you from a few weeks ago, where we found you at the Fulton County Fair, where you were the winner of the hot dog eating contest. Bobby, since then, I have heard some other amazing things about you. And one of the things that I have heard is that you have extraordinary courage. Tell me, Bobby, can you give us an example?
Well, Mr. Ordinary, I reckon I have had a little courage lately. I did face my fear, and I slept in my room all night in the dark, all by myself.
Bobby, how is it that you've been able to obtain this courage? Was it something that you ate? Was it something that you drank?
Well, you know, Mr. Ordinary, Mama said there was nothing for me to be afraid of in the bed, but when I would go in my room and turn off the light and go to sleep, I would wake up and I would see things in my room, in the shadow, and I would be scared. I don't know about being so courageous, but I do know that some things have changed for me. Since I found Jesus, I prayed to him, and I asked him to give me courage, and I've done slept by myself all week long.
Well, Bobby, that does sound rather courageous. And kudos to you for overcoming your fear. Tell me, is there anything else that you've done lately that could be considered courageous?
Well, when I went back to school after winning the hot dog eating contest, everybody wanted to sit with me in the lunchroom. And I noticed there was this new boy at school. His name was Tommy. Tommy Tot. Tommy didn't look like everybody else. And he sat by himself in the lunchroom. I noticed that Tommy Tot loved his taters. He liked French fried taters. He liked baked taters. He liked taters any way he could get them. And so one day, I was sitting there eating my lunch with my friends, and I looked down at my plate, and I saw that I had a whole bunch of mashed potatoes just sitting right there that I wasn't gonna eat. And I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, Bobby, get up and go share your taters with Tommy. And so I got up and I walked over and I sat down with Tommy Tot. And all my friends were laughing at me and they were making fun of him and they were making fun of me. But you know what, Mr. Ordinary? That was the right thing for me to do. And now me and Tommy Tot are best friends. And he's even gonna come to church with me on Sunday.
Well, Bobby, if I understand you correctly, the source of your courage is Jesus. And if he's in our hearts, we can have courage and do the right thing no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, and no matter what the circumstance. That is indeed extraordinary. Until next time, Mr. Ordinary here, encouraging all you kids to accept Jesus into your heart so that you too can go from ordinary to extraordinary.
Wow, God gives us extraordinary courage. That's what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about a Bible story about a not-so-nice king and three men who really loved God. The king's name was Nebuchadnezzar, and the men were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were in the land of Babylon, and they worked for the king Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar decided to build a huge statue. This statue was so tall, you can imagine 15 men standing on top of each other or 5 giraffes standing on top of each other. It was a pretty tall statue. So then he announced, when the music starts, everyone should bow down to my huge, tall statue. So the music would start and everybody bowed down except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king was furious when he heard that some of his workers did not do what he said. So he called them to him. He said, "Hey, I've heard that you did not bow down to my statue. Is that true?" And they said, "Not only did we not bow down, but we will not ever bow down to anybody or anything other than the one true God." King Nebuchadnezzar was so mad, he said, "Okay, so now because you didn't bow down, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace." It was basically a huge furnace that they used to bake bricks and different things like that. And it was so hot, he threw the men in there, but he looked and he saw not three men, but there were four. Wait a second, he only put in three, but he saw four. And he looked and he called out to them. He said, "Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, followers of the Most High God, come out of the furnace." And when they came out, they were completely okay. They were not burned at all. They had nothing wrong with them. And then King Nebuchadnezzar knew that they truly served the one true God. If you take a look at the video this afternoon, I will light something on fire, but it will not burn. So take a look at that video this afternoon. I'm not going to do that in church, though. But after the service, these three men had so much faith in God that they knew that they could have courage that only God could give, and they could stand up and make the right choice and choose not to bow down to the statue. Aubrey, will you come up here and help me? I'm going to get a volunteer today. Aubrey, run up here. Let's give her a hand. So, I have a pipe here. Aubrey, will you twist that around for me? Twist it around. Just tack like you're going to, we're going to even tie it in a knot. How many of you guys, we're going to pretend like this represents a person with no faith. They have no faith. They have no courage. And they are, there you go, they are tied up literally in a knot. Has anybody ever felt this way before? When something is in our life that we're not so sure about and we feel completely twisted up, your stomach feels twisted up, you are tied up about it because we have sometimes lacked faith and we've lacked the courage that only God can give. Now, Aubrey, will you hold on to that for me? Now, we're going to say that this is God's courage. This is the extraordinary courage that only God can give us. This is faith that God gives us. Will you hold my microphone for me, Aubrey? Now, see if you can twist it around now. Can you bend it now? No, you can't twist it. You can't bend it. That is secure and steady, and that is what God's courage does for us. His faith, when we have faith in God and we know he is with us, he is going to take care of us. It's just like this. We no longer have to worry about being twisted up or having fear or having worry about whatever situation we are facing. Thank you, Aubrey. Can you give her a hand? Thank you so much for your help. So what situation might be going on in our lives today that maybe we have some fear? I mean, there's like the prophecy said earlier there's a lot of fear in our world. And maybe we need some of God's courage. And we need faith. Just like this, maybe we were twisted up just like this pipe was twisted up first. Let's pray right now and ask God to give us this amazing and extraordinary courage that takes ordinary people like us and helps us to do extraordinary things. God, we love you. We thank you so much for how much you love us. God, we thank you for this extraordinary courage that you give us, that you help us to have faith, that you take care of us, that you are with us. And we love you. And we thank you so much for this courage. Help us to face anything that comes our way with your courage and your faith. In your name we pray. Amen.
Caught up in your presence, I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, here for blessings, Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. Wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe. And more than anything that you can do, I just want you. Oh, I just want you and nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you and nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you and nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. Nothing else, Jesus.
The Bible clearly teaches us that you give honor where honor is due. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are times when we set aside the normal activities and it becomes necessary just to say, God, we want to express our thanks. And today, I saw one of those pictures and my mind rolled back to the day we stood on this platform and announced to this congregation that in a matter of just a few months, Pastor Josh and Cassandra and their family would leave us to continue their call, fulfilling what God's called them to do on the western part of the United States. I remember just a few weeks ago when someone posed the question to Joshua and said, well, is everything still on? I mean, with this pandemic going on. And he said very clearly, and Josh, if you don't know Josh too well, he doesn't waste words. He doesn't have any fillers, okay? He doesn't give you a bunch of fluff. He just said, well, it was God who called me, and the pandemic, he knew about the pandemic when he called me, so I'm still going. Amen? That's faith. You know, it seems like the Holy Spirit is trying to deposit, even in our kids' ministry. Pastor Miranda's preaching the message that God prophetically entered into service and spoke today. It's a special day, a day set aside to give honor to Pastor Josh and Cassandra for their service to ministry these past couple of years with us, and about 7 years in this region pastoring a church. I think there's some folk from the church here today that they served. And they came from the West Coast, it was about 7 years ago, and serving in the pastorate here in this region and then coming to us. And as I thought about these past few weeks as this day approached, my mind wandered really far back to early days. Early days of our lives. In fact, if you were here last Sunday, you remember we shared with you last Sunday that Pastor Joy and I experienced our wedding anniversary last week and celebrated 39 years. And God has been good to us. And yet we look back and now, you know, now we don't say the word, but now we're OLD. Come on, somebody. And then sometimes we say we're FAT. But we spell the words. We don't say the words, okay? But we were thinking back. And we were thinking way back, and I remember when Josh was born. He was born a PK. And for those of you who don't know what that is, he was born a pastor's kid. And we were serving as youth pastors in Edenton, First Assembly. I was a youth pastor there, and I had guys in my youth group like Pastor Sandy Outlaw, you know, who was in my youth group, and now and served here for a while and now pastoring there. You see, we have a tremendous ability and God-given anointing to channel people out through these doors in ministry. Josh, you and Cassandra will be in somewhere numbered in the 20s of people that have come through this door and been released out to do ministry. Pastor Joy always says the same thing. When are we going to keep people? People in ministry, we're going to keep them. I said, we don't get to keep them. We're just the revolving door that allows them to come in for a season, grab what they're supposed to grab, and then continue on their journey. But I got to tell you, this one's one I'm mad about. I said, God, what are you doing? This is not right. I mean, could you sit through a worship service like today and imagine what, you know, what's it going to be like without Pastor Josh leading the team? Come on, how many of y'all thought about that? What's it going to be like? Don't you think I've thought about it, okay? Guess what? It's going to be better. Come on. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? Why? Because God has always proven to us with every transition, it's always gotten what? Better. Better. So we're thankful for the gifting that you have. It's not of his own merit. I remember when Pastor Joy and I gave him a guitar for Christmas. I wish I could capture the moment. We gave him a guitar, and he was in his room Christmas Day, and he just opened it up, and he took the two little latchets off on a guitar case, and he raised up the case, And he looked at the guitar, and he closed the case. And I'm like, what? You know, we worked hard to find this. You know, we worked hard to pay. What? And he shut the case. And for a few days, it laid on the bed. But then after a while, he slid it under the bed. And then weeks went by, and you know what happened to that guitar? He sold it. It wasn't that it wasn't God's will for him. It was just not the right season. Years would pass, and guess what he would do? He would pick up the instrument called the guitar, and he would self-teach himself at home. No lessons. He would just say, God, you know, I want to do this. And he was watching YouTube videos. And then all of a sudden, it's another part of the journey. He's on his way to Bible college, and he's majoring in music industry or music business, those kinds of things. God, what? Why don't you just trust me? We do, but didn't you get some things mixed up? No, he doesn't. He doesn't get things mixed up. God's had his hand on him. I remember when Pastor Joy and I were in Florida, and we had left. We'd done the same thing that they're doing right now. So people said to me, don't you think he's going to change his mind? No, he's not changing his mind. Because you know what? I know what that feels like. I told my mom and dad, they're sitting here today. I told my mom and dad, I sat down with them and I said, listen, Joy and I and the kids were leaving. And we snatched our grandkids, Josh and Abby at the time, we snatched our grandkids from the family and we loaded up a truck with everything we had in our possession. All we could get on the truck, the rest of it we gave away right there in Conway. You want this? You want the picnic table? Who wants the grill? Who wants the potted plants? We just gave it away liberally. Because guess what? Tomorrow morning, we're pulling out to Florida because God has called us to leave North Carolina, go to Florida, prepare for ministry in Bible college. And I had these two little kids, 2 years old and 5 years old. That's the apartment that we lived in. That's the steps that these kids sat on. A little 650-square-foot apartment we lived in for 4 years. But we did it, why? Because God called us to do that. And so I know what that's like. So when they said to us, hey, we're leaving, I wouldn't dare say, are you sure? You know, because can I just tell you something? You preachers in the house, you'll understand this. No one, somebody say no one. No one understands calling except the called. Nobody. It doesn't make sense. What you do as a called individual, called by God, what you do as a called individual doesn't make sense to anybody. In fact, it angers some people. The way you make decisions, the way you choose things, the way you decide, it just agitates people, but they don't. Listen, your own family, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, they will never understand why you do what you do. It doesn't make any sense, and it's never going to make any sense. So you can't get angry with them. You just understand that they just don't understand. They just don't understand. It's callings. Jeremiah said this. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I remember when we were in Southeastern, Joy and I went to a little church over on the south side of Lakeland. The name of it was Medela Assembly of God, pastored by an old school pastor. I remember his wrinkly hands. Mine are looking like that now. The name of it was Medela Assembly of God. I remember his wrinkly hands. I remember his kind of old ways. I'm not like that. I remember his wrinkly hands. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. I remember his ways, and I remember the things that he would do. But yet, even though he was old school, even though he was a little older, and even though he had some traditional church ways, you know what that man did? He walked with an anointing on his life that demanded respect. And so I remember Pastor Robert Smith calling Joshua out of the service one night. We had evening services on Sunday. And I remember him calling little Josh, 6 years old. He said, young man, he said, I know you're our associate pastor's son, but you come here, boy. And Josh wandered up on that edge of that altar, and he laid his wrinkly hand on top of his head, and he began to weep. And in the old school way, oh, you know, he would just move like, oh, yes, Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He could feel it, and he had his hand on Joshua's head, and Joy and I are young parents in Bible college trying to do God's will, and we just cried like babies. And he prophesied over Joshua, and he said, this young man has a divine call on his life. It's going to be a challenging journey, he said, as he went continued to prophesy, but he said, I can see this young man has a gifting inside of him, and he will touch, the Lord says, he will touch the thousands. And he said, you don't need to be afraid, Mom and Dad. No matter which way he turns along the way, I will redeem him and I will use him for my glory. And that was the prophecy that was prophesied over Joshua. And you know what? I watched his calling. I was there that night, and it didn't mean anything to a little six-year-old boy. It didn't mean anything to a little 9-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy. And I watched him grow up, and I watched him become a teenager, and I watched him understand that calling, but I watched him reject that calling too. I watched him reject it. I remember times. Now my son calls me, my son texts me, my son laughs with me, my son jokes with me. My son is a good friend of mine. He's a great confidant. But I remember a season when and I knew it, I had sense enough to know it, that just his eyes touching me in the same room, he didn't like that. He didn't want to be around me. Matter of fact, I could tell you some good stories, but I won't. That I just showed up at the wrong time. It was just not, you know, I say, he doesn't like me. How many of you have ever not liked your parents? Come on, anybody? Come on, just tell the truth. You're in church. Come on. You ever not like your parents? You love them, but you don't like them. Anybody? Except my kids. Raise your hand, all right? But I remember those seasons, amen. I remember those seasons, those season of time when he didn't really like to be around me. Why do you think that? Because to be around me was to be around what? Calling. It was a fresh reminder of the calling God had on his life. So I watched him receive that call. I watched him reject that call. I watched God restore that call. Amen. I watched him acknowledge that, affirm that, nurture that. And can I just tell you this? God is faithful. Come on, somebody. God is faithful. So I feel like Paul today speaking to the Philippians, but I want to say the same to you, Josh and Cassandra. Philippians 1, 3 to 6. I read this yesterday in my chair, and I just thought, tomorrow's going to be a hard day. I lost it on the way to church. The last time I remember losing it on the way to church, I was giving Abby away to Jeremy, and I had to pull over on the side of the road and just cry my eyes out. And so Joy asked me this morning, she said, are you getting it out of your system? I said, I'm trying to, because this is not easy for me. And it's deeper than grandchildren. It is. You say, yeah, you're going to miss those grandkids. I'm going to miss Joshua Phillips. I am. I'm going to miss Cassandra. But I am going to miss those kids. But I read these words yesterday, and I just jotted them down in my notes. And I'm saying this to you today. I thank God every time I remember you. But I read these words yesterday, in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now.
All my prayers for all of you.
Here's the important part.
Always pray with
being
joy
confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Today's not easy, but guess what? Today's right. What God began in you when you were just a little kid. And Cassandra's got her own story as well. What God began in those when they were just little children, God's going to complete it. We've watched you. We've learned from you. You and Cassandra have inspired us. You've pulled us to a new level. You've invested in us and we in you. And today we want to take some time and just honor you for that and express our love to you. Reese and Shelby are coming now, and they're going to share a worship dance today in appreciation for Josh and Cassandra. Would you welcome Reese and Shelby, the Glory Days gals? Amen.
So, Cassandra, I just want to say, You've really inspired both of us through everything that you've done. I'm very thankful that all that you've done for me and all the other girls in the girls group. We love you. We're really going to miss you. But we know God has a plan for you and that he is taking you to new places and that he is your defender.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5-6.
Praise the Lord. One of the regular parts of life for Pastor Josh has been investing in people. Maybe not because they've been singers all their life, but because there's something new that God is doing in their life. And so one of his vocalists, Kaesia Carter, is coming to share words of encouragement and inspiration today. Would you give it up for Kaesia? She comes today.
It's such a bittersweet moment. I still remember when I first spoke to Pastor about wanting to join the worship team, and I was so nervous, and I was just like, I can't do this. Josh really, he's strong, but also you're so patient. You took your time, you made me feel super comfortable, you let me do what I think I could do, and then you showed me what I really could do, and I thank you so much for that. Miss Cassandra, you have the most captivating voice when you speak. And it is amazing. You can see God's spirit all over you. And I've had guests come and say that too. They was like, it's something about her. And it really is. I'm going to miss Levi and Caleb, their laughs. I'm emotional. And Lexi, your hugs. It's sad, but it's also amazing because you guys are some of the most encouraging and amazing people I have ever met in my life. And I thank you so much. And Josh, I'm sorry for eating all your cough drops. I know now I have to get my own, but thank you for that. And thank you for just being who you are. I pray that God bless you.
There's something you really need to know. Josh, get his cough drops from me, okay? Hey, here you go. Right. Every Sunday morning, hey, Dad, yeah, I got you. So I just start putting a jumbo bag on his desk, all right? One of the great joys of ministry is also hanging out and building connections with people who understand you. Pastor Mike Blow, I'm staring right at him right now, and Pastor Randy Pierce is over here, and he and Carol, ministers understand ministers. They understand each other. And one of the great things about being a minister, especially when it's targeted and centered around music, is that when God allows you divine connection with someone else who understands you. And so coming today is one of our friends and one of Joshua's great friends, Chris Pierce. Would you come on, Chris, and share a moment? Give Chris a hand, would you? Praise God.
Josh, it's been a been a true honor to be able to get to know you, to work on your guitars, to be able to worship the Lord, and to get to know you more and to see what a great leader you are. And it has truly grown me, getting to know you as a friend, as a guitar geek. I'm glad and excited for y'all's next step in this journey.
Praise the Lord. And you have to understand when he says guitar geek, these guys that play these things, they don't just have one or two. It's like 102. Amen. They just got guitars like crazy. They got a bunch of them. They got music rooms in their house. Amen. I want to share a letter this morning of another minister friend who's not able to be here today, and he's preaching over in Chowan County. It's actually a gentleman that Josh began to work with when he came back from the West Coast. His name is Joey Nixon. He owns a business where Josh worked for his time here, part of his time here, and he's also a fellow minister. Joshua, properly named by his parents of Joshua in the Bible, was a leader. He was a warrior, and he was a family man. After all, it was Joshua that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If you know Josh Phillips, you can see all these attributes in his life. The result is he's a true man of God. Josh will tell you that Cassandra, apart from Christ, is the very best thing that has ever happened to him. He says, "Cassandra, I pray that you continue to just be you. The flow of the Holy Spirit in your life is contagious. Your passion on and off the stage has always amazed me. You are the ground to Josh's electricity, the calm to his every storm, and the mother to his children. There's no limit to what God will do through your life. Stay obedient to that call that God has placed inside of you." Josh is more than a coworker to me. He's a friend, and he's a brother. I met him about 7 years ago when his father encouraged me to give him a chance. He was moving from the West Coast and was looking for some employment, at least temporarily. He assured me that Josh was honest and would work hard. Josh excelled with our company and will be missed by the whole crew. I've heard others on the job say it just won't be the same without Josh here. I have to agree. We've grown together in the Lord in wisdom and in knowledge. Solomon was exactly right when he said iron sharpens iron. It's a blessing to work with him and other Christian brothers and sisters and to be able to sharpen each other in the word while you work. I've watched God do amazing things in Joshua's life. I admit I'm jealous. He has the courage to follow the Lord's call for his family. I myself pray for that kind of courage and strength to move out in faith. I've watched Josh and Cassandra grow spiritually and physically. I've been privileged to watch their family grow in number rapidly. Watching the family grow helps us understand the structure of church growth, just as it has not been easy taking children and correcting habits they've already been taught. It's the same in the local church. Josh and Cassandra are valuable to the church in many ways, but I believe the most predominant way is their ability to see the potential in other people the same way they see and saw potential in their kids. They build teams of people and unify together for the gospel. They are truly kingdom leaders. Josh and Cassandra have totally changed the life of three very special kids, and if we'll be honest, they've done the same to us who know him. They make up a great family. In the Bible, Joshua gave the command to play music before the walls of Jericho fell down. So you can see Joshua was a music leader too. He's a man who stands on the principles of God's word and will not be influenced by denominational thoughts or religious spirits. Josh and Cassandra are anointed by God to do ministry. I wish your family the very best and will pray for you as God reveals the plans for the future of your family. I feel as it wouldn't be doing Josh justice if I didn't tell one last story on him. So the story goes like this. Josh is talking at work one day of how he felt that one of his children just really didn't appreciate him enough. In conversation, he looked over at me, as I'm always asking, when is he going to have more kids? When are you going to have more kids? And he says, if I get any more kids, I promise you they'll be kids of color. I look over the counter, and a gentle African man was standing there, and he had a most puzzling look on his face. I immediately began to explain that Josh and Cassandra's ethnicities and their children's and how Christ doesn't see color. That Cassandra wants many kids, but Josh is hesitant about the real number, a dozen. Needless to say, that guy was about to bust out laughing at Josh, and so was I. Church, I feel it only fair to tell you one last thing. He dances at work too. And whether he's dancing in the spirit or on the stage in your church, I don't think he has rhythm. Laugh out loud. Josh, I love you and your family, and I will definitely miss you. And I expect to see at least three more kids come to you in the span of 7 years. Your brother in Christ, Joey. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're excited about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're excited about that, guys. We really are. You too. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask if our worship team will come back, except Josh. Just our worship team, our present worship team, okay? They're going to come back. In fact, all of them are coming that are here. And they're going to lead us in a song. And we are going to place a basket here. Abby, would you place that basket here on the front? Matter of fact, Ava, why don't you just hold that? Why don't you come here and just hold that for Pops? Hold that basket. And this is a time for you. Some of you may not. Just stand right here. Come on up here, baby. First step. There you go. Turn right around with your beautiful self. And she's going to hold a basket. And if you have a card or a sentiment that you've written or something that you'd like to share to be a blessing to Josh and Cassandra today, as the worship team begins to sing, would you please just file by Ava here and drop your card in the basket. If you don't have a card and you only have a check, that's great. Don't waste a card, all right? And you just write it straight to them. It doesn't go to the church. Just write it to Josh Phillips. And let's worship together with this worship team that Josh has left. Amen? He's built them to this point. Somebody's asked me several people, hey, who's gonna do this now? I said, you know what? Josh has not left us handicapped. He's not left us handicapped. He's left us well prepared. And so we appreciate that.
Lord, bless you and keep. face towards you and kneel again. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you, Lord.
praise, would you? Give the Lord praise today. May his favor be upon you in 1,000 generations. I don't know about you, but I'm testimony that God blesses the generations. Amen. He really does. Pastor Josh and Cassandra, would you come right here? Pastor Mike Blow is coming to pray for you, to speak over you. Praise the Lord. Face this congregation, if you would. Give it up one more time for Josh and Cassandra, would you?
As I was thinking about today and who we are sending forth, amen, we are sending them. I thought about the man who wouldn't let hindrances and wouldn't let walls stand in his way. You are a wall destroyer. And take it from me, a man of hundreds of sons, you will have more than you can count. They will be attracted to you like never before, because I release anointing on you like you've never experienced before. You will not be able to say no. They'll come to your door. They'll gather at your steps. They will be all around you. They're the hurting, the disappointed, the broken. And you will father them all. And you will be a mother to these children more than you've ever seen, more than you've ever desired. And you will have a word of comfort, a word of peace. You will deposit hope into their lives. And Father, I thank you right now for these two precious ones. And I pray your blessings upon them. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that the evidence of your favor shines brighter than the sun. That the peace that passes all understanding will abide with them daily in the storms of life and the difficulty. I believe, Father, that you're going to deposit a greater anointing and a greater ability to follow your wisdom, your direction. I thank you, Lord, that they will never second guess themselves, because they will never second guess you. I pray, Father, that you would open their ears that they might hear the tiniest of your instructions and follow them faithfully as they have in the past. Reward them for their faithfulness, and give them strength in everything they endure. Nothing will stand in their way. Every wall torn down, doors wide open, every advantage, your favor upon their lives. Now, Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a part of this day and a part of this sending forth. And we want to honor you as we honor them. Your will be done in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Kids, if you could come, Alexi, where is Levi, Caleb? You guys come here. I'm going to ask Abigail to come and pray over these children. How many of you know kids are precious? Come on. They're just precious. So Jeremy, would you come and join her and lay hands on these kids? Just lay hands on these kids and ask God's best and his blessing on their lives.
Imagine. you even formed them in their mother's womb. And Lord, you brought them to Josh and Cassandra. And Lord, what a blessing that is. Thank you for Josh and Cassandra laying the foundation for these kids. Lord, I pray for lives to be changed, Lord, that these kids will just be abundantly blessed in your favor, Father. Lord, whether they're on the East Coast or the West Coast, Lord, surround them and protect them. Lead them and guide them and give them a heart that is on fire for you. Lord, we trust you and we love you. Lord, I pray that your will be done, Lord Jesus, that you would give this family an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that growth and multiplication will happen, and that you will create in them a revival, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in your name.
See if we can gather Caleb, and I'll let Jeremy pray over Caleb. Praise the Lord. Let me give you some instruction as we come to a close here. Many of you signed up to join us for lunch, and so we're going to do that. We're going to go ahead and pray before we leave the sanctuary here for our lunchtime. A time we wanted to, first we were going to do all of our activities back there, and I thought, you know what, we can just pause on the sermon series and just give honor today right here among us. So come on, Caleb. So we appreciate, come on, Caleb, the Caleb spirit. Jeremy's going to pray over you, okay? Everybody has to go to the potty, don't they? So Jeremy's going to pray over you. Stretch your hand out and as Jeremy prays for this little leader.
Father God, we come to you today. We just want to thank you for Caleb's life. Thank you for making him bold. Thank you for making him strong. Thank you for making him fearful. This little guy right here, he's not scared of anything. And Father God, we know that he has a special calling on his life. And Father God, we pray over him today. We ask you to keep him courageous, keep him bold. Father God, keep him safe during this transition. Help him become acclimated to the new settings, new school, new life, new friends. Father God, we just want to thank you for Caleb, as well with the other children and Josh and Cassandra. Father God, we ask you to help him to be able to continue from generations to generation what his parents are doing for him and his brothers and sisters. Father God, we pray that these kids be a blessing to some other kids that need a family for what their parents have done to them. So, Father God, we once again, we just thank you for the life of Caleb. We ask you to stay number one in his life and be the center of his joy in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Caleb, how old are you, man? 5, okay. 5 years old. Talked about Joshua when he was just a notch above Caleb and how God set him apart. Listen, our family's a testimony today that when God has his hand on your life, you know what? He's well capable. Your family, your children, their children, their children. You say, well, yeah, that's great for preachers. No, that's for every born-again child of the living God. Come on. So let that wash over you today as they sing it as we go today. Father, thank you for the worship today. Thank you for the word today. Thank you for the moments of encouragement, the dance, the kind words, the letter, Lord, all of these things. Thank you for every gift deposited in a basket today that will assist and help with this family's move across the United States, Lord. We bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you for our time in the fellowship hall today, the Family Life Center. God, would you bless our meal? Would you encourage us with that in Jesus' name? Amen and amen. As they sing this today, listen, as you're on your way out, you claim that promise for your family, amen, that God has his hand on their lives and that he's not going to take it off. He's going to lead them and guide them every step of the way. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves as you exit the building. Thank you for social distancing and all these things today in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Before you and behind you and beside you.